The aim of our Living with Diabetes podcasts is to share information and inspire, and we endeavour to ensure that the information provided in them is accurate. It's not a substitute for medical or health advice from a healthcare professional who's aware of the facts and circumstances of your individual situation. We always recommend that advice be sought from your GP or diabetes nurse before making any changes to medication or before using any products or services referenced by DRWF. DRWF will not be held liable or responsible for failure to seek competent medical or health advice from a professional who's familiar with your situation. Views, information, or opinions contained in podcasts do not necessarily represent opinions, standards, or policies of DRWF. The inclusion of details about products or services does not indicate DRWF endorsement of them.
Hello and welcome to the latest podcast in our series, Living with Diabetes, brought to you by Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. In this edition, we're featuring a personal story of someone living with diabetes. 40-year-old Gary Gumbleton was diagnosed with diabetes fairly recently and tells us some of the ways he's changed his life.
My experience with my GP was absolutely brilliant. And I think he had diabetes too. And I think because I was so dedicated to try and sort this out, he was really open and he was really communicative. You know, he was a great person. He said, do you feel down? And I'm like, not at all. I'm already annoying. He goes, look, to be honest with you, once we get your sugars under control, you're going to be 10 times the man. I'm like, oh my God, 10 times the Gary is going to be hideous. And I didn't believe him. 6, 9, 12 months later, mate, I am 10 times the person I was.
I'm Claire Levy from DRWF, and this is Living with Diabetes, My Story.
Yeah, so my name is Gary. I am 40 years old. I am husband to Georgia and dad to Garrison. I run a small business over in Surrey called Capital Content. That's me in a nutshell, right?
Yeah, and you contacted DRWF to tell us about your fairly recent type 2 diagnosis. Can you explain what happened to you?
I obviously reached out to you guys because I wanted to kind of share my story a little bit. Only because I feel there are not many people out there that are sharing their story. I don't want people to feel like they're by themselves. And obviously, you know, I got diagnosed with type 2. People may see that as a kind of lesser of the two evils, right? But it's still a pretty, you know, tough disease to kind of handle, right? But it was back in March where I got diagnosed, and that was like the same day as lockdown one. So it was a hectic week, I'll tell you that for nothing. But leading up to that, you know, I used to go on holiday and eat relatively rich food, and after 2 or 3 days of just eating back to back, you know, not very healthy food and not very, you know, not no exercise, I would feel really unwell, and we didn't really know what the issue was. And then kind of like 6 months leading up to my diagnosis, I was really, you've probably heard this story 100 times, I was really thirsty, right? I was so thirsty, and I just couldn't quench that thirst at all. Like, I was just drinking gallons and gallons of water, and I was still super thirsty. And to parallel with that, I was also lost 10 kgs pretty much overnight. And I thought that that weight loss, I thought that I had food poisoning. I thought that I'd, you know, I mean, it was great. I was like, man, I've gone from 110 kgs down to 100 kgs. Amazing. I haven't even changed my way of life. It's amazing. And I was relatively overweight. I wasn't exercising at all. And I thought it was brilliant. But then I was like really thirsty. My wife's a nurse, right? So she was like, you know, maybe we should kind of Google these symptoms. Like, what's going on here? So we Googled it, and, you know, extreme weight loss, thirsty all the time, can't quench the thirst. And I was like, and it said, oh, it could be type 2 diabetes. And we both looked at each other and was like, oh God, here we go. So I went to the GP. And so the first trip to the GP, that was kind of like, you know, it was almost like just a tick of a box, right? We saw this first person, or first GP, and they were like, okay, we'll take your weight, we'll take your blood pressure, I'll refer you on to somebody else. I just told them the symptoms, and they pretty much were like, yeah, you've got diabetes, right? But then the second person that I saw, I forget his name, but it was a local GP, and that was amazing. right? That was an amazing experience. And we'll probably go into it a bit later. But, you know, I hear varying stories on how people have been looked after or supported with diabetes. And my experience with my GP was absolutely brilliant. And I think it was because he had diabetes. So he was obviously the diabetes rep for that local practice. But he had diabetes too. And I think because I was so dedicated to try and sort this out, he was really open and he was really communicative. You know, he was a great person. But yeah, I was diagnosed back in March, lockdown one. It was a really scary time, right?
So was that a blood test?
What, the diagnosis? Yeah. Yeah. So he did a, yeah, he did like the prick test, right, there and then. That was the first time I'd really ever done that. And my sugars at that time, 9 o'clock in the morning, hadn't eaten breakfast, were at like 20, 25.
Yeah.
Right? Super high. And at that time, he was like, oh, your sugar's at 20, 25. I was like, I have no idea what that means. Is that high? And now I know that it's super high, right? That is dangerously high. And he was like, it's 9 a.m. You haven't had breakfast. Your sugar's at 25. And I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Well, not cool.
Yeah, well, not cool. Yeah. Something's pretty bad, right? I need to, you know, I need to sort this out.
So he took a blood test and did your HbA1c, yeah?
Yeah, all of that lovely stuff. And I think at the time, this is obviously a year ago now, at the time I had no idea what was going on. He basically said, yeah, you've got type 2 diabetes. You know, or actually, he said, you're kind of verging on type 1, which still now I don't really understand how that can be on the verge, right? Because there's so much to read. There's so much literature out there. But I straight away went on to Humulin, I think it is, the insulin, and then obviously the incremental units of insulin over the course of 3 months.
And did he explain, because I'm saying, you know, did you know much about type 2 diabetes before you were diagnosed? Is there anyone else in your family living with diabetes?
I knew nothing about diabetes. So my mum has type 2, but she was diagnosed with type 2 quite a while ago, right? Maybe 15, 20 years ago. And my mum's relatively private. It's not something that we would really talk about normally. And I then, I then moved to New Zealand for 10 years. So I wasn't even seeing her every day or seeing her every week. You know, I hardly spoke to her. If and when we did, we didn't talk about the diabetes, right? And I think even now, it's kind of there's that stigma where you don't talk about it because it's blood and syringes. People don't like to talk about it. But yeah, my mum's got type 2, and I think her dad had type 1. But I didn't really know any of this. I didn't really pay attention. And my mum even went on, and this is kind of a vague memory, I'm sure she went on a placebo, and it got worse, obviously. So then, yeah, when obviously the doctor asked, has anybody else got it? I was like, well, my mum has it, I think. I'm pretty sure. I don't really know. But even at that time, I had no idea. I you know, it was something that you knew of the word, but you didn't know what the actual disease was, you know.
So let's just take a step back. Can I ask about your health, your lifestyle, exercise regime before your diagnosis, and how has this changed since you started your type 2 journey?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my exercise regime and my lifestyle, zero, right? I didn't exercise at all. I might have thought I'd like to have exercised, or, you know, I definitely didn't raise my heart rate. I definitely didn't sweat. I wasn't conscious of what I was eating. I would have just full fat sugary drinks. And in fact, I was living relatively unhealthily. It wasn't like I was living a normal life. I was actually living quite unhealthily for a good 10 years, right? And I think even the GP said, hey, you've probably been living with this like between 6 and 10 years and you haven't really known about it. And I think that's right. If I look back over the last 6 to 10 years, I was actually in a pretty bad shape. Like not health-wise, but actually I felt bad. You know, like with gut problems and motivation and sleeping and stuff. I wasn't conscious of it. I knew it was happening, but there was none of that self-awareness, you know. But now, I've completely changed, you know. And I think it's about just making smarter choices. And eating is one of life's like best things, right? No one wants to give up chocolate. No one wants to give up McDonald's. You know, you want to have that stuff. But it's all in moderation. It's just about making smarter choices. Now, if I do have McDonald's, I won't have fries and I won't have a drink. I can have water from the tap. I'll just have a burger, for example. And although that is obviously not healthy living as such, I'm making better choices. Any soft drink that I have, now it's always free. It's sugar-free, right? And I think it's funny. I never would have picked, before diabetes, I never would have picked a sugar-free drink. Wouldn't even cross my mind. But nowadays, the sugar-free drinks, mate, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. But then there's also an element of carbs, right? Carbs obviously turn into glucose. And it's just about, like I said, making smarter decisions, or, you know, maybe being healthier through the week so you can have that extra little, you know, burger bun on a Friday or Saturday.
DRWF, staying well until a cure is found.
You're listening to Living with Diabetes, My Story. We continue our conversation with Gary Gumbleton, who was recently diagnosed with type 2. I asked him how he changed his lifestyle in an effort to be more active.
From an exercise perspective, man, I am not motivated in any sense to exercise, or I wasn't, shall I say. I was really motivated at work, really motivated looking after wife and family and friends and stuff, but to get off the couch and go for a jog, or to just raise my heart rate for any reason, that was the last thing on my mind. I was just not motivated at all. Now, I kind of do, I'm still not that motivated, right? I'm still obviously Gary Gumbleton, you know, I still have that mentality behind me, but I do a bit of yoga, maybe 15 minutes of yoga every morning at a minimum, right? And it's just basic stretching. It's nothing major. You know, I'm nowhere near a yoga teacher at all. But it's just 15 minutes of stretching and raising that heart rate and just burning a little bit. And that, plus better choices and portion management, has absolutely changed. Well, in fact, I don't take insulin anymore. You know, I just manage my diabetes with a better lifestyle. So my sugars now sit around the 6, 7 and 8 mark, which is great, right? That's what we try and hit. And I keep the weight off. You know, it's not that I am not eating carbs and I don't have sugar. You know, like I said, the things that I, you know, the eating is what we want to do. That's one of life's great pleasures. But I think it's funny. The GP said to me, she goes, he said, do you feel down? Do you feel like, you know, not energetic or anything? And I'm like, not at all. In fact, my mates get annoyed with the amount of energy, and because you can hear my voice, right? The Gary Show, like, I'm already annoying. He goes, look, to be honest with you, once we get your sugars under control, you're gonna be 10 times the man. I'm like, oh my god, 10 times the Gary is gonna be hideous. And I didn't believe him. 6, 9, 12 months later, mate, I am 10 times the person I was. I didn't realize I was so down and lethargic and tired and no motivation. I'm you know, although I'm still overweight, you know, and I may have the odd cheat day, I am making better choices. I feel better for the future, and it's less, health is obviously just as important, but it's also mentality as well, or your mental health around how to manage all this. So I'm stronger mentally. I'm more energetic and be able to get down onto the floor and play with my kids on the floor. Beforehand, at my peak, when I didn't know I had diabetes, I would ask my friend's child to come sit up on the sofa. I said, so I didn't have to get down on the floor. Now I'm running around after a 9-month-old, you know. So the success that I see for me is the mental health and energy, just, you know, pure, and not just movement energy, but just mental energy, you know.
Has your knowledge increased, would you say, and are there still questions you have unanswered?
I don't know, because there is so much info to know. Right, and I think because you do feel like you're by yourself, it is that self-management thing. And I have so much other stuff having to go on, not only just, you know, the business and my wife and kid and stuff. You know, maybe I don't put enough time. Maybe I was so, you know, into it at the beginning to try and get rid of it. And now that I'm kind of like coasting really quite well, I've forgotten to, you know, go for that resource and educate myself. But I like to think I know a bit. I definitely should know more. And I think that's probably with most people, right? They get themselves up to speed. They start to manage diabetes, and then they just kind of coast. And that's kind of what you do pre, knowing that you have diabetes, and also what you do after, I would assume, you know?
Yeah.
And we need to be more open to supporting each other, because we're all in this together and we can all help out each other.
Definitely. And you became a father recently. How has that made you feel about your own health and your family and the future?
Yeah, it all happened all at the same time, right? Lockdown, diabetes, and first child. So it was a hectic couple of months. And I think, yeah, obviously I was a smoker as well. I haven't mentioned that. I smoked I know, right? Up until knowing I had diabetes, I was you know, giving up smoking was on the cards anyway because my wife was pregnant and it just had to have happened, right? She obviously gave up smoking when she became pregnant, and I was like, okay, I'll be there soon. Don't worry, I'll do it. Then they go, hey, you got type 2? Bang. Got to cut smoking straight away because it's all about circulation. And what do they call it? Vascular performance. So now... with a child, definitely, obviously, I'm nowhere near smoking. I am much healthier. I eat better because, you know, although obviously he's like 9 months old, he sees all of that stuff. You know, we need to give him that best thing. I don't want to, if I was educated in diabetes and the lifestyle that I had before diabetes, I would have stopped long ago. You know, rather than me kind of like side skidding into my grave with a bottle of champagne in my hand, I think I, you know, if I knew the damage that I was doing to myself, I would have dialed back a long time ago.
Mm. And another thing that we did, we're the charity managing the Diabetes Forum on a thing called Health Unlocked. I didn't know whether you'd use the site and did you have any thoughts? It's also linked through to our website.
I looked at that just before the interview today and never knew about it. And I, you know, it's the largest social network based on health, right? And it's that should be at the forefront. That should be the first thing the GP should say. Hey, if you need support, NHS is stacked at the moment. I can't give you too much time, but here's a social network of everybody else in the country that's going through the same issues. And you can chat about it. There's forums, all of that kind of stuff. If I'd have known about that, like before today, I would have been all over it because I run a digital agency. I'm all over social. So that is the thing. That's how people communicate nowadays. Well, 9 times out of 10, we're not sending letters and we're not sitting around in a circle in chairs. We're posting on forums. Mm. So if I knew about all of this, and that's why I went back. You know, originally said about the GP. The support I had from the GP was brilliant.
So in a way, and I think we've heard this from other people, it is about you do have to do a bit of digging and a bit of finding out for yourself. But alongside that, we hope that some of the things that we signpost as a charity to help people, and our strapline is staying well until a cure is found. So, you know, it is a bit of a minefield, isn't it?
It is. There's a lot of, like with all medicine, there is a lot of contradictory stuff, right? But you're right, you need to be self-motivated. I think there needs to be more awareness. I think people got to get rid of that stigma around being able to talk about it out loud. Because I have a personal brand, quote unquote, over LinkedIn. I talk about business ownership and marketing and stuff. But then I also talk about diabetes. And I think whenever I mention the word diabetes, I see people kind of wince a little bit, you know, when I'm talking to them. Because they're almost shocked that like, I've said the word diabetes out loud. And I think more people need to say the word diabetes out loud to raise that awareness.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, and as I say, we try to talk about living with.
Absolutely.
Because even fantastically, you've reversed your type 2 at the moment.
Yeah.
As you know, you've got to keep that up, and it is a case living with the condition even when it's under good control.
Yeah, at the peak of it, I was taking 32 units of insulin every day. And now I don't take any, right? Mm. Because I manage it, and I want, you know, I'm positive in the outcome that this can be managed, but it just, I think, yeah, people need to talk about it more. You know, I'd like to talk about it more.
Anything else you want to add?
I mean, there's, you know, I'm 40. Obviously, there's, you know, people younger getting diagnosed with diabetes. I think technology is your friend, right? I think you can, like you said, with the social media platform, I forget what it's called, Health Unlocked.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah. The social media platform, the OneDrop app, the LibreLink digital sensor, even the LibreLink 2 now, which is kind of like constantly connected. Use that technology. If you've got diabetes, go out and, you know, type 1, I think obviously get them subsidized or paid for NHS, look into it, obviously. But type 2, just invest in it a little bit, just to kind of take a little snapshot on where you're at. Technology is your friend in this sense because they're so far advanced now, you forget. We don't realize how far they are. And even now, I'm waiting. Apple are about to drop, the rumor is, a non-invasive glucose monitor through their watch. And that's huge. I did spend £100 a month buying these LibreLink sensors. If I could just spend £300 on an Apple Watch, not only do I get an Apple Watch, but also have a non-invasive glucose monitor constantly on my arm all the time. Huge to be able to manage it on a daily basis.
DRWF, staying well until a cure is found.
You've been listening to Living with Diabetes, My Story. We hope you've found Gary's interview helpful, but we'd like to re-emphasise that everyone is different and you should talk to your healthcare professionals before changing the way you manage your own regime. To keep up to date with the latest news and information, or to discover how you can continue to support DRWF, please visit the website at drwf.org.uk. This is Claire Levy from Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. Our thanks to Gary Gumbleton for talking to us, and also to you for listening. I'm looking forward to joining you again in our next edition of Living with Diabetes.
Living with Diabetes is a Blue Aurora media production for DRWF, copyright 2021, Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation, all rights reserved.